You're listening to the Functional Nurse Podcast, and on this episode, I interview Melissa Armstrong, a functional medicine nurse and nurse coach. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Functional Nurse Podcast. I am here today with an exciting guest, Melissa Armstrong, who has a lot of insights into being not just a functional nurse, but also a nurse coach. So I'm excited to interview her today. Thanks for being here, Melissa.
Thanks for having me.
I am going to tell everybody a little bit about you and your background in nursing, and then we will get started. Melissa was an RN in the conventional medical model for 11 years and transitioned into holistic medicine for illness prevention and promotion of health and wellness 2 years ago. In 2023, she opened her own functional health and wellness coaching business, doing online health coaching to help women overcome and heal from symptoms of chronic illness, fatigue, anxiety, and gut issues. She specializes in helping women get to the root cause of symptoms of disease within their body to help them recover for good from symptoms of chronic illness, fatigue, anxiety, and gut issues so they can live their most fulfilled and vibrant lives possible. She loves to empower women and help them learn to restore balance within their body, mind, and spirit. Melissa is passionate about helping people be well. Melissa, I would love it if you could start with the question I love to ask first always is tell us about your journey to becoming a nurse and ultimately what you do now.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you today. My journey started, so when I was very young, I kind of always had an inclination that I would be in some sort of role helping people. I grew up in a very kind of traumatic, chaotic, abusive home. But I knew from a very early age that I wanted to help people. And that really presented itself to me when my brother, my older brother, passed away traumatically when I was 18. He was 5 years older than me. He was killed in an accident right in front of me. And that was very obviously traumatic. And the experience in the hospital for the 36 to 48 hours after his accident was very, while it was very traumatic, it was very kind of eye-opening for me. And I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to be a nurse. And I remember just shortly after that, signing up for general ed classes at my community college. I was already kind of taking general ed classes, but nothing really specific toward any specific major. I didn't really have a major at that time, and really like met with a counselor and was like, okay, how do I become a nurse? You know, and they're like, so I signed up for, you know, got my ducks in a row and kind of signed up for the classes that I needed to get to my nursing degree. I went to San Diego State University in San Diego, California for my BSN. I graduated in mid-2010 and jumped right into working in the pediatric ICU at the local children's hospital there. I worked there for many years. I honestly thought I would work there forever. And I realized when I got pregnant with my oldest son, who's now 8, that I just couldn't do that and be a mom at the same time. Like, the trauma was just too much. The work was incredible. It was incredible. Like, there's nothing like saving a child's life, you know, bringing a child back from the brink of death. So I kind of bounced around in various different types of inpatient, outpatient types of nursing, just in that conventional model. And it was about 6 years ago now that I realized that I just really wasn't aligning with the model. And I felt like I had so much more to offer. And I felt like every time I would see, whether it was like in an inpatient setting or in an outpatient setting, whenever I was face to face with a patient, I always felt like I was rushed through it. And I never like had the time to go into the education and, you know, everything that I really wanted to and really help people. I felt like I wasn't really helping people. So I kind of started on, and I simultaneously with having my own kind of health issues with dealing with unresolved childhood trauma, unresolved, you know, just mental health issues that were manifesting themselves into physical symptoms, not getting a whole lot of help from the conventional model, seeing my doctor and having my doctor say, yep, your labs look normal. You know, you're a mom now, like that's, you're just going to be tired forever. And like anxiety is part of life, and have a good one, you know?
It's so common.
Yeah. Yeah. It was super frustrating. And I was like, this can't be normal. And I just kind of dove headfirst into trying to learn about natural healing and what holistic medicine was, and found, you know, that kind of sped up during the whole COVID experience, and found Inca, got my nurse coaching education, was like, this is what I want to do. Like, I feel like coaching is my calling. And I just am able to connect with patients in the way that I really feel I'm supposed to. Yeah. And then I took your course in functional medicine just to kind of as like an adjunct to add to my skill set. Functional medicine root cause analysis is like a super passion of mine, obviously, with my own experience. Yeah.
Did you already have your own practice with the coaching and then you added in functional medicine, or did you start your practice after you learned all of it?
Yeah, I started my practice early 2023. So I think I finished your course in like right around the same time.
Okay.
So that was my plan, was to have my own practice and with just the coaching piece of it. And then I kind of, the functional medicine, taking your course and for functional medicine was kind of like an impulse decision. And I was like, I really feel like I need this to really do what I, you know, how to incorporate everything together.
Yeah.
So right when I was ending your course is when I opened my practice early 2023.
I felt I can relate to what you're saying. Like I learned nurse coaching and then I learned functional medicine. I was like, ooh, it goes together perfectly. Like people tend to have their own answers and just need help with it, but sometimes they want more information. And so now it's like this partnership that you can offer.
I love being able to incorporate like labs from a different, like I use labs in my practice. So I feel like the functional medicine piece of it like really helped me understand how to incorporate that with the nurse coaching.
How much do you feel like you spend in a visit with somebody coaching versus educating?
I'd say it kind of depends, but I'd say like if I had to give you a random, you know, number off the top of my head, probably 50-50.
Okay.
There's a lot of education, and I feel like it's so interesting to me because to me, and I think like you say this a lot in your course, and I've heard it a lot from, you know, other practitioners as well. It's like common. It's like these things that I've known for so many years. Like, I just think it's just like, it doesn't everybody know that? Like, but really a lot of people don't know. And you really, education is a huge piece of it. Just like basic sleep hygiene tips, or like, this is how much water you should drink in a day. Like people just don't know.
Right, right. Yeah. And you give them like just that little thing and you tell them, they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, I feel better just from drinking more water. Like light bulb moment for them.
You wouldn't know how much water you should be drinking? Like,
Yeah. Nurses definitely undervalue how much we have to offer even before even learning functional medicine, right?
Like, absolutely.
Out the door, I think that we've worked in an exchange of like hourly wage for so long as a career. Like all nurses have tended to work in a barter of, I work an hour, I get this much money, and undervalue the fact that people would love to sit down and spend time with us, you know? And so that was my next question for you is, you know, I read that your practice grew pretty quickly and you outgrew your space. So you're like proof that people will pay you to spend time with them and help them. Can you talk about that? Like, did you have, like, you didn't know how it was going to go when you started, or were you like, yeah, I have the demand there? And
no, I had no idea. Like, obviously, there's always this fear of, you know, like, what is this going to be? Like, can I really do this? And I feel like I'm an RN. I don't have any advanced practitioner degree. So I had this kind of in the back of my head that you're told, like, you can't do anything without a doctor. You have to have a doctor for everything. And so I totally had that in the back of my head. I really just went for it. I felt in my bones like this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm a Christian, and I prayed about it, and you know, like I just felt like God directing me, like this is what I'm supposed to do, and I just trusted that, and I went with it. And there is such a demand. I talk to new clients every single week. Like people, I don't have enough time in the day to talk to the clients that are interested in being a client.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, the schedule's full. That's yeah. So awesome. So talk about outgrowing your space. Where are you now? I know you're working with a couple other specialties in your practice. Can you share a little bit more about that? Because I love for nurses to hear who they could potentially connect with or partner with or share rent with.
Yeah. So I don't have a brick and mortar. I'm fully virtual.
Okay.
Cool. I work completely from my basement, actually, which is right where I am right now. But I do have a physician affiliate for lab testing. And then I work with a lot of other practitioners in the area that kind of just like on a referral basis, some local MDs and DOs who just don't have the time, and a nurse practitioner actually as well, that just don't have the time to devote to their, you know, to the coaching piece of it, who will refer to me for that
type
of client. Yeah.
So how did you make that connection? Did you seek that out, or did they, how did that come to be?
Yeah, I just literally reach out to people.
Okay.
And I feel like it's like, we get so scared to just ask, and it's like, you never know. If I've had a lot of people say, I'm not interested, but a lot of people are interested. There's a direct primary care is big in my area. I live in Northern Colorado, and we have a lot of direct primary care clinics, and they have a panel, like these MDs who run the clinic entirely by themselves have a panel of several thousand patients. Like they just don't have the time to devote to helping a client understand basic health, improving their health long term. They can help them in the short term, and they can help them in their visits and acutely, but they really just don't have the time to devote to that.
You're right. Follow up every week or every other week. Yeah.
Yep. My clients are, they can meet with me as often as they need. If they're a client of mine, like I don't put a number on it. I did at the beginning of my practice, but I like to meet with my clients at least twice a month. But if they need more than that, all they have to do is schedule an appointment.
I feel that way too. Like I did an episode recently about how to price. And I just think that I really like being able to have that conversation with people and say, what do you need? What accountability do you want? Or when do you want to come back? When do you want to touch base again? And I think personalizing like that can be really great for a lot of people.
Yeah. And especially like in my experience, people really kind of depending on how they come in, like some people, I've had clients who come in with like zero healthy habits, zero. And they need to meet with me like sometimes twice a week to start for the first 6 weeks because they have no idea and they're overwhelmed. So it's like you have to give them like little bite-sized pieces for them to work on for the next 3 days or 5 days or something. And then you move on to something else and you kind of stack everything on top of each other, you know, lay the foundation first and then stack on top of that.
Yeah.
But what if you want to have a lot of healthy habits and they just don't want to meet until, you know, they're like, oh, once a month is fine or once every other week is fine.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what to do and I'll go do it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
What has it been like? You were talking about coming to the place in your nursing career where you knew it didn't align with what you wanted to offer anymore to now. Like, what is it like to do this, spend that much time with somebody that has zero healthy habits and then follow up and follow up and follow up? Like, what is that like for you as a nurse?
I love that. It's my favorite. It's so gratifying to help somebody through that process and just see that transformation from, you know, start to finish. Generally, I work with clients in like a 6 month capacity. So like from day one to the end of 6 months, it's like the transformation is incredible to see that from zero healthy habits. And like, I don't know how much water I should be drinking. All I eat is, you know, boxed processed food to like, I feel like a whole new person.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I wanted to hear more, you know, we obviously, you know, we talk in the course a lot about stress and ACEs and trauma and like the things that you touched on at the beginning. how has your experience with that and just what you know now from functional medicine, like, impacted your practice? And, like, is that a big part of your practice, do you feel like?
It's a huge part of what I do. I talk a lot in my practice and in my coaching sessions about mindset and stress management and lifestyle. And I see a lot of people come in who don't correlate them, those things, to start with. You know, like, I've had clients who have a very similar history to my own with, you know, lots of trauma and abuse and all of that, and then have this, like, very unhealthy lifestyle and all these physical symptoms and don't understand how the two are connected. And so we spend a lot of time talking about how intricately those are connected, and how I believe that if you, it doesn't matter, you know, I specialize in hormone and gut health, and it doesn't matter, like, I can heal somebody's gut, I can help them heal their gut, you know, with protocols and all of that. But if we don't address the underlying trauma from their childhood or, you know, traumatic experiences and stress, it doesn't matter how we, like, how hard we work on healing that gut, they're never going to heal completely. We have to address those, the ACEs and that stress, especially. I have a client right now who I'm like, that's her number one thing. And she still hasn't come to that realization. She's like, yeah, I'm kind of stressed. And I'm like, no, like, you're off the charts stressed and you don't even know it yet.
You know, that was me. I even went through the nurse coaching program and, like, didn't realize it because it just felt like my normal and it was fine. And that's how I got through life. And I think there's been a lot more shows, like, things in the media, movies and things recently that acknowledge stressors and trauma and ACEs and, like, complex PTSD and all those. And I watched one thing that just, like, really shined a light on, like, wow, that might still be affecting me now and I should do some work on that. And I did, and I finally was like, oh wow, I feel way better. And I think that, to me, as nurses, we don't acknowledge how much stress, and a lot of nurses come to become nurses after a trauma or a lifetime of trauma, or any, you know, any number of things. Like, a lot of nurses have told me they became a nurse because of caring for a family member or seeing a nurse care for a family member. Mm-hmm. And I think when we create that awareness for a client, you know, even just sleep, right? Like, hey, did you know you need this much to not have a problem? But taking it so much deeper and talking about stress and your background and fight or flight mode and, you know, feeling right, like you're constantly trying to save yourself, can lead to a lot of chronic health conditions. And nobody's going to tell them that in, like, a conventional clinic, right? Like,
right,
nobody asks about it. Yeah, they don't have time. Yeah. And they might not make the connection either, because I definitely didn't understand that. When I was in primary care, I didn't understand how much stress was hurting the majority of our population, really.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, they don't have time to, like, it, like, you can't just be like, in, you know, 7 minutes, you're like, oh, by the way, are you, like, super stressed, or did you have trauma in your childhood? Like, that's not a
right,
quick conversation. That's an extensive, you know, deep, difficult right, conversation.
And who's gonna say yes to that in a 5 minute visit too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or even be aware that it is, because that, you know, that was part of it for me, is I didn't understand the impact things that had happened in earlier in my life were affecting how I handled every day of my life until, you know, nurse coaching is really similar to, like, cognitive behavioral therapy in that way. It, like, sheds some light on things that you might go, huh, oh, I didn't connect that before. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You have physicians and nurse practitioners referring patients to you, and then they are coming to you and paying. Do you do cash pay, like, per visit, or do you do packages?
I do packages.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't, I did do a little bit of, per visit, like, at the beginning, just to try to get some money flowing in and some clients, but I just don't find, that the types of clients that I'm working with are benefiting as much as I think that they can from a package.
Yeah, I have a feeling that this is going to come around to this. So if you could talk about, you probably heard me talk in the course about, if people aren't paying, if you're giving away your nursing knowledge for free, you're not going to see results in people because they aren't invested. Can you talk about that, your experience with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you have to have some sort of investment to show up. I mean, we all get those like free, here, join this free seminar, or join this, you know, here, get my free ebook. Like, how many times have you downloaded a free ebook and never read it? Like, I have like a million times. I have a million of them on my phone. I don't read them because I'm not invested. I haven't put anything into it. I want to read it. I download it with intentions to read it, but it just doesn't happen because life is busy. We're busy. Like, it's just not a priority. There has to be a financial investment. And that's why I do packages, because I find that the clientele that I'm working with, they really have to have that investment to make those changes and to make it. I work a lot with like moms of young kids. Like, it's very much my own story, right? Like, I have two little boys. I spent, you know, my 20s and my early 30s just stressed out, anxious, not sleeping well, gut problems, skin problems, all of that. Like, you know, 8 years ago when I had a newborn baby, like, there's no way I could have made myself a priority if I didn't have some sort of investment in it, you know?
Definitely. And I think that probably makes you so relatable too, that you can reflect that back to your clients when you feel like it's appropriate. So people are signing up to, let's say they're with you for 6 months, and then they can say, I need to see you again this week. And there's some flex there for you where you, okay, that's wonderful. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually like, I can usually get them in within a couple of days. It's not like they can't just call me on the phone and be like, can we talk now? Like, there has to be a scheduled appointment, but yeah, absolutely. A minimum of two times a month. But if they want to see me twice a week, they can.
And how about, can you talk about your thoughts on, I want to hear about lab work a little bit, and we were touching on providers referring to you. So can you talk about your thoughts on scope of practice, and like maybe when you started learning nurse coaching and functional medicine compared to now, like how you perceive it, and what you would share with other nurses that are worried about that?
I feel like I was a lot more worried about it when I was first learning about it. Like, and part of that is like what I mentioned earlier is like kind of in the back of my head, and like what they tell you as an RN is like, you can't do anything without a doctor. You can't order anything. You can't do anything. Everything we do, like getting a patient out of bed, is like, you have to have an order to get a patient out of bed. And it's so much of what I do. Everything that I do is completely within my scope of practice as a nurse. The only thing that I can't do is order the labs. And that's why I have a physician affiliate. I order the labs, and then we go over the labs and we talk about what it means, what it could mean, and what are some ideas about what we can do to fix this. And I work mostly with like lifestyle, diet, and like optimizing, like I do a lot of hormone work. So we optimize like detox, sex hormone detox pathways and that kind of stuff. But I don't really recommend supplements. Like I'll say like, oh, you can take DIM or you can do this, or, you know, you should talk to your doctor and see if that's appropriate. Or I'll give them a handout that says like, these are the supplements that can sometimes help with it. But I'm not like prescribing anything. I'm not, you know, telling them to go take this supplement or selling them any supplements. I really optimize the body's ability to heal and lifestyle and diet.
And people get better.
And that's all within my scope.
I think that's so empowering for other nurses to hear, you know, that like, because I can say it all day long, and I want other nurses to say it out loud, right? Like, we're in this problem that we have now. Our healthcare system's broken. Our chronic disease prevalence is almost everything's on the rise, and it is not anything fancy. It is all within the scope of a nurse to help with the majority of what's going on.
Absolutely.
Life, everything you just named off. And you're a great example of how I say that you get to decide what you want to offer people. You can, you know, you can be a nurse practitioner and offer a ton of labs and get really techie and do stool testing and all really fancy stuff with functional medicine. But you can also go way to the other end and essentially do lifestyle, right? Where you're mostly talking about sleep, stress, food, toxins,
yep,
peeing and pooping, like all the stuff that you just touched on. And you could use no supplements and no tests and still get really great results for somebody.
Absolutely. And I've actually battled with that quite a bit, like the labs, because sometimes, frankly, sometimes labs are kind of a headache for me, like ordering them and the specimen's clotted, the patient has to redraw, or they didn't write their name on the specimen when they sent it back, so that, you know, like, it's kind of a headache.
And
I feel like I could very easily do my job without it, you know, although I do love getting to see the patients kind of like aha when they're looking over, they're like, wow, I knew that something was wrong. And this is like validation, because it's like objective numbers that show that, you know, my hormones are completely imbalanced. I knew it. I always knew it. Yep. My doctor told me it was normal, you know.
And then, right. And then you getting to do, I really love follow up when somebody has made changes and they want to see repeat, you know, metabolic panel and like see their A1C and glucose and maybe inflammatory markers, like all these things that are really tangible that you can say, look how much better this is because of these changes that you've made that were really, I mean, not easy for them, but basic, you know, they were basic things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, okay. So you are using, an online like physician services for your lab work?
Yeah. Yeah. I use Rupa and DHA. Kind of depends on which one I use.
And is that easy for your patients? Have you found that that's pretty easy for them?
Yeah, I've had no, the only thing is like sometimes when, you know, the specimen is clotted, or like I had a patient send back a Dutch test without her name on it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. That, and I think that's all of healthcare, right?
Yeah, totally.
People don't do it right.
Yeah.
And how about where you want to go with this? I know you had mentioned before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about group stuff, and that comes up a lot in nurse coaching, and then it comes up some in functional medicine. I really feel like it's this interesting concept that functional medicine is personalized and we're asking why, but there's so many themes. And so I'd love to hear like your thoughts on like where you want to go with your practice and your thoughts on using group coaching as an option for patients.
Yeah. I love one-on-one coaching. So I don't think that I'll ever not do that, but never say never, right? But I do, the idea of group coaching fascinates me, because I think that there is, like, with my own, you know, history and experience with trauma, and like I've been through like all the counseling, I've done EMDR, I've done group counseling sessions, I've done lots of therapy groups, and I find that I feel like in my own experience that type of setting is incredibly therapeutic for a patient to hear from other people who are walking a similar path in that moment. You know, like I think in my coaching sessions I've been very transparent with patients and told them, obviously I don't keep the focus on myself, but I've told patients before like my own experience, and I tell them still, like, you know, like I'm a work in progress. Like I work to regulate my nervous system every single day. I work to keep my anxiety in check every single day, but it's a process that a journey that I've been on for 15, 20 years versus like somebody who's just starting now, walking alongside somebody else who's just starting now, I think is a very like therapeutic setting for them. So the idea of like doing some sort of group coaching, I would love to do that in my practice. I don't exactly know how that will look, but I'm kind of toying around with a couple things and seeing about how I could implement that.
That makes me think of Dr. Carrie Jones that I interviewed a couple months ago. I heard her on a podcast talk about people comparing themselves to her. And she's like, well, we're on different chapters. You know, I've been reading this book for a long time. You're on, you know, your first or second chapter. And so when people talk about perfection and health, I always think of that thing at like a carnival that where you use the hammer and you hit the bell, you know, and you hit the bell, you win the prize. And I don't think that there's a version of health where we hit the bell and we're done and and we get the prize. We have to work on ourselves every day. And and it's a spectrum, right? And we might be further along than somebody else. And I think that's important to acknowledge, that people might think that we have perfect health because we work in this realm, but it, there's so many dynamics to health, you know, it's always dynamically changing. And so that's impossible for starters, right? But I really like what you said about like that they, if they're with somebody that's kind of maybe on the same chapter that they are in their story, of starting to peel back the layers and look at why being in a group with somebody that's there going through the same things you are and hearing that from them could be really powerful compared to them assuming that you're perfect in your health and that you're going to talk about your past issues that you've already dealt with. Right.
Like, that's why I feel like I always like I tell my clients, like, I tell you this out of love. Like, I'm not, I haven't figured it all out yet. Like, I know this because of my very long journey, you know, but I'm on, you know, I've been dealing with this already for 15, 20 years. Like, I noticed stress affecting me and my childhood trauma affecting me 20 years ago. You're just now realizing this. So you can't compare, you know, but I, just because I realized it 20 years ago doesn't mean that I'm, that I don't still deal with it. My nervous system is still dysregulated some days. I still snap at my kids some days. Like, I still, I love Cheez-Its. Like, I, you know, like, it's a journey. And I think it, everybody's journey is different. And I think that we, I still have so much to share, and like, their journey is going to be their own. And they're just starting it, you know, but I'm on chapter 20. Yeah. They're on chapter one. Like, you can't compare. Jen Gottlieb says that in her book, Be Seen. That's a really good book. Just about kind of mindset and doing something that's scary, you know?
Mm-hmm. Along the lines, when we're talking about the fundamentals and what you're using in your practice, what role is nutrition playing? You mentioned not using a lot of supplements, and we talk a lot about a food-first approach in functional medicine and not overcomplicating things for people. What role is nutrition playing in your practice?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like a lot of people kind of come into my bubble thinking that I'm like a dietitian and that I'm going to like create all these, you know, very precise and personalized meal plans. That's not what I do. I really just educate about nutrition. So we talk a lot about macros. We talk about processed foods. We talk about education, some education on like food label interpretation, just teaching people kind of the basics about what they're putting in their body, teaching them that food is medicine. If you eat like crap, you're going to feel like crap. And, you know, but it's all in moderation. I love Cheez-Its. So like, I'll never give that up. You know, like, I will always have Cheez-Its from time to time. So it's just in moderation, you know. I don't eat Cheez-Its every day or for every meal, you know, but once in a while it's okay. But really just focusing on the fundamentals, like, you know, getting whole foods in their rawest form, and focusing on protein, especially for women. I work a lot again with women and hormones, like making sure we're getting enough protein in our diets, because that's so hard to do. And then just talking about like, you know, toxins and like what kind of toxins we're getting in our food, and looking at organic versus not organic and that kind of stuff.
What do you see in follow up when you like create awareness around food and then people follow up with you? What do you feel like the impact is that food has on their health?
I feel like almost always I hear like the next visit after, when we first like bring it up and I'm talking about like macros and like food label interpretation, like I have people come back like the next time that I meet with them and go like, oh my gosh, I had no idea what is in the food that we're eating. Like, what even is this? I've had people like bring food labels and be like, what is this? I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, like, should you be eating it if you don't know what it is?
Yeah.
But I feel like that's like such an empowering moment for people when they realize that they have the power to make such a significant change in their health. When they're like, I don't know what this is. One of my favorite things to do is to show people like there's so much that's on the shelves that this is a bioengineered food product or something like that. I forget how exactly it says it. And I'm like, you know, and they're like looking at stuff in their pantry that they're like, it says that on my, you know, like, I don't want to eat that. And that's just such an empowering thing, I think, for people.
And, you know, so many nurses have such hesitancy about talking about food because they worry that it's a physician's scope of practice or a nutritionist or dietitian. But your focus is education, right? So
yep.
How do you feel about that? Like,
yeah, I don't think it's like, I think it's completely in my scope of practice because like I said, I'm not creating like a meal plan. I'm not sitting down and saying, okay, you weigh this much and you should be eating this many grams of protein and this many carbs and this, like, I'm not really recommending. I do sometimes recommend the elimination diet depending on, you know, for like 2 to 6 weeks for a client, depending on what their symptoms are at the beginning, and then we'll like reintroduce foods, but I'm not sitting down and creating this like diet for them. I'm just really educating them about what the food is that they're putting into their body and just empowering them. That's what I like to think of. I'm empowering them to make healthier decisions about what they're putting into their body.
And I think there's things like That Clean Life that can be dietitians that have written meal plans for people, and it's written by somebody with a license to do that.
Yep.
And that's not what we do as nurses in functional medicine. We say, did you know, like you're talking about, that there's all this crap in your food and you're not aware of it? And then they go, oh gosh, yeah, maybe I don't want to eat that anymore. And creating some awareness around, how does it make you feel when you eat that? You know, like you were talking about the Cheez-Its, and I think when we make people think they can never have something again, they're probably not going to buy into it, right? But like, you know, there's things that I enjoy that I don't eat often. And I say, well, I'm not going to never have it again. I'd be miserable if I told myself I could never have it again. I'm going to choose to not have it today because I know how it makes me feel when I eat it. But maybe I'm going to have it as a treat sometimes. But I know I'll eat it and be like, oh, gosh, this is. I'll know later. I think that nurses have a lot of hesitancy around this topic because they feel like it's not the same as saying, you know, you're on a diabetic diet or I'm prescribing you, you know, this particular type of diet for your chronic kidney disease. This is more about creating awareness, and it can have a huge impact on people's health.
Yeah. I think also like just speaking from experience, as far as like the nutrition, I feel like I've often shied away from more so at the beginning of my like holistic journey, and like on social media, sometimes I shy away from saying things about nutrition because there's so many like differing opinions about certain things, right? Like eggs is a really good example. Like depending on who you're talking to, some people say eggs are horrible for you. Some people say eggs are the best thing ever and you should have 100 of them a day. Like it just there's so much varying information. Oh, this is good for this. Oh, you should never eat kale. You should always eat kale. Like, you know, so I feel like I just educate people and I empower them to make the best decision for them. And that's not necessarily going to be the best decision for me because I'm on a different path and that's my body is different and my body might react differently to certain things.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm doing a 6-month continuous glucose monitor thing with and it's part of a package. And I'm in a group on social media with other people that are doing it. And it is a testament to the fact that one person can eat something and have a completely different metabolic response to it than somebody else. I wanted to go back to when you were talking about starting your practice. And I was in a Zoom meeting with students last week, and we were talking about who convinced us as nurses that we couldn't do things. Like, how did that happen that a nurse can have to ask themselves if they're allowed to own a business, you know, or are they allowed to call themselves a certain title? Because there's been so much fear mongering to like make nurses feel like they are in service to physicians, like what you were talking about in the beginning, that we're following physician's order. And, you know, from being in the course, and I've had hundreds and hundreds of nurses go through the course and research their scope of practice. And there is very little in there about doing things under a physician or nurse practitioner's orders. There, it might mention that there's some things you can only do under those circumstances, but it's remarkable how much we believe as a group that we can't do things. And, you know, can I call myself this? And I last week when we were talking about it, I was just like, why wouldn't we be allowed to have a business? Who made us think that like, because of our job, we can't start a business? And you're like a great example of that, you know, like it's only doing good for people to be able to partner with you and tune up their health and be healthier and live longer.
Right. Yeah. I think the system really like ingrains that into you, because like there's all the policies and procedures that really limit what you're allowed to do. And we're taught in nursing school, like if you're doing something for the first time, like you reference the policy. The first thing on the policy, I mean, always that I can think of, is do you have a doctor's order? So it's this like repetitive reminding, like you have to have a doctor's order, you have to have a doctor's order, you have to have a doctor's order to do anything. And it's like I was saying earlier, like getting a patient out of bed, that's the policy of the hospital, right? You don't have to, in your own practice, in your own scope, you don't have to have a doctor's permission to educate a patient,
right?
Do that on your own.
Eat more vegetables. You don't need an order.
yeah,
absolutely. And I was thinking too when you were talking a little bit earlier, because I want to read a quote that you had written. At first, I wanted to kind of cue it up by saying I had thought earlier when you were talking about so many people, including me, going to see a provider in the past, and they're metabolically unhealthy physicians, right? And then you go sit down with them and wait for them to give you your lab results or whatever, right? Whatever the case may be for that visit. And they tell you you're fine. Or like what happened with you, where they say, oh, this is what motherhood feels like. Like this is your new normal. And having somebody that clearly is metabolically unhealthy tell you that your labs are all normal and that you have nothing to worry about is like, there's a little bit of skepticism in there. I think for a lot of people, I mean, I've had hundreds of patients bring something up like that through my nursing career. Well, I saw this provider and they told me I was fine, but I mean, they didn't look fine. So, I mean, how fine am I if that's the window they're looking out of? And so planting that seed, and then I wanted to read a quote that you said, is I see a trend where women who have symptoms and reach out to their doctors for help are told everything is fine or be placed on a medication without addressing the root cause of the issue. And I imagine that a large percentage of your patients that come to you are reporting something along those lines. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, what is that like for people to come to their second visit with you after realizing like, wow, she is listening to me and looking deeper. There's an opportunity to look at this in a different way than people have for me in the past.
Yeah, I've found myself a lot recently explaining to people that this is the most fulfilling work I've ever done because of that fact. My early career, I was in the pediatric ICU. Like, I spent time doing compressions on children and putting in like bolts at the bedside to monitor ICP and stuff. And after they got hit by a car going 50 miles an hour, and watched them walk out of the hospital. Like, there's nothing like that. It's so incredible to be a part of that type of a journey. But this is like even bigger than that for me, just helping people, because I find that when one of my clients shifts in their understanding of their own autonomy and their own empowerment, we're like, wow, my doctor said everything was normal, and like now you're really listening to me and we're making changes and like I feel better. Wow, like I feel like they just become into their own and they like feel so empowered. And that's really what I want. I want people to feel good and to feel empowered to advocate for themselves. Like, I'm not a doctor and I don't pretend to be. And I, you know, if I'm ever in a car accident, like, don't you dare bring me to my basement, like take me to the ER.
Right.
You know? Like, there's a time and a place for that. I just feel as like for prevention and for like actual true healing and health, I feel like that model sucks. And I love empowering people and teaching them that they have the power inside of them and educating. Like, education is my favorite part of nursing. It always has been. It's incredible.
I love that. I think you're like the perfect example of when we talk early in the course about not disparaging others and that there is a place for both things, right? Especially right. Acute things. We need conventional medicine for that, not chronic management. But we talk about sending people back better as proof that what we do works. And can you talk about that? Because I it sounds like you have people sending their patients to you. So you are sending people back better and they're sending you another person, right? Like, is that happening for you?
Yeah. I think that I've built some strong relationships with people, with other practitioners in, you know, in my area, and sending, having a client make such big progress. A lot of times when they were maybe seeing their practitioner for, you know, weeks, months, years, even trying to make those changes and not able to, and then coming to me even just after a couple of visits and going in and telling their doctor that they feel better, like meeting with those doctors afterwards. You know, I do a lot of networking, going to networking events and stuff, and like seeing people afterwards and like talking to those physicians and nurse practitioner that I work with, and just having those conversations where it's like, wow, so-and-so is like really doing so much better. You know, such a great professional relationship to have and just feel like respected. And I feel like it's grown my own confidence and like my own belief in myself and like, wow, I really can help people.
I would love to hear your thoughts on the topic of charging for your worth. And, you know, we talk about that a lot during the course. And so you have come to a place where that, it sounds like it's working for you. I do want to mention, I love what you said about these, they don't belong in my basement. That's so funny.
Yeah.
It's perfect. But can you talk a little bit about how you decided how to price for what you offer and the response you've gotten from people?
Yeah. Sometimes people say it's too expensive. And when that happens, I just tell them, that's okay. You know, like if you come back to me, if, you know, when finances are different for you and if you want to participate at another time, I'm here. It was hard at first and it's still, it's not a fun conversation to have. I don't love that part because I am a nurse, you know, I want to help everybody and I don't want to, you know, I wish I could not charge people, but I have to feed my kid. So
yep.
I've gotten to a place where I'm okay with it. And I really, I don't tell myself and I don't think about it like I'm charging my worth. I don't charge for my time. I charge for transformation. That's what I'm
asking. Yes. Like that. Yeah.
I'm helping people achieve a transformation and that transformation costs money. And
that is a really funny way to say that. I really like that. Okay. So before we wrap up, Melissa, I wanted to give you a chance to, you had said one of the things you're most proud of is taking the leap to be your own boss 100% because it allows you the flexibility in your life that you've been craving for years and is the way that you feel you can not only use your gifts to your fullest potential, but also impact the greatest number of people. Before we wrap up, I wanted to see, what would you say to nurses considering following a similar path to you, either just shifting to a more holistic practice or even considering starting their own practice as an RN or NP?
Do it. I say do it. Trust yourself. If you think you can't do it, you're wrong. Ask the people around you, you know, that love you. Ask for support. And, you know, sometimes it takes some personal mindset work. I think that's one thing that I've always had. And I don't really know and understand why or where it came from, but from even with my past and my childhood, the way it was, like I've always believed that I could do things. Like if I set my sights on something, it's like, that's, I'm doing it. Like it's never a question of if, it's just like how and when. I truly believe that this type of care and healthcare is the way of the future. And I think that we have so much to offer. And there are so many people in the world that are just dying for something like this, looking for something like this. And I think another thing that I struggled with, like at the beginning of my, when I first opened my practice, is like the idea of like, is there enough people in the world that could benefit from this? And I think that to think that there isn't enough people is an absolute lie. You're lying to yourself, because there is enough people in the world, and there is always going to be enough people in the world. And, you know, somebody who resonates with me might not want to work with somebody else, or somebody, I might have a client who will like do, I'll do a consultation with, or do a, you know, first appointment with. And it's just like, it's just not a good fit for whatever reason. We just don't, our personalities are like, you know, sometimes you just don't jive with somebody for one reason or another. And that's totally okay. They can go find somebody else that they do jive with, and that they're going to get great results. But like, you're going to get your people, and you just have to believe it. Believe in yourself and ask for help, ask for support, find a mentor. Yeah. And do your own mindset work. Take care of yourself.
I feel like every nurse that I ask that question to says, go for it. Like, that's the first thing they say, because it's like, nobody believes that they can do it until they've done it. And then you're like, Oh yeah, everybody else should do this too. This is what people need. Once you're in it and you understand that, it's easy to say. I know that people listening that haven't done it yet, it doesn't sound that way. If you're an RN, the odds of you having a non-compete, like a nurse practitioner, are smaller. So you really can start it on the side, and it can be something that you offer outside of a full-time job with benefits to take care of your family. Cause I definitely understand that. I think everything that you've shared today is like really important topics that even when you started your nurse coaching and functional medicine journey, probably had those same questions. And then you fast forward not that long and you're like, oh no, yeah, I all that's true. And you know, 100%, but like you 2 years ago, maybe wouldn't believe that at all. Right.
Right. Totally. And I wish I would have done it sooner. Like, that's the only thing, like, I think I'm like, I wish I would have done it sooner. And I understand too, like I quit my job. Like, I don't want to work for somebody else anymore. And I quit my job like on the spot because it was a toxic environment and I didn't want to do it anymore. And I wanted to open my own business, and we couldn't survive on one income. I jumped and I have never looked back.
I was in that same boat where I was like, I am going to give up a good salary.
Yeah.
Six-figure primary care, but I can't do this anymore. It's not sustainable to my heart or my health. And it's also, I don't believe in it anymore. So that I felt like I was, you know, not being true to myself. Okay. So we're both a testament. Nurses should do this.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to mention, we're going to share your links to how to connect with you on social media in the show notes, but it's Instagram, is Holistic Health by Melissa, which is a great name. And
I'm Melissa on every social media platform and my website, Holistic Health by Melissa.
Well, okay. Thank you so much. This is a great conversation. I think it's going to be really insightful for so many nurses. And like, I just love empowering nurses, and that I think this conversation was very empowering. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Totally. Yeah. Thank you for having me. It was such a pleasure, and have a great day.
And until next time, everybody, be well. Thank you for tuning in for this episode of the Functional Nurse Podcast. If you want to help spread the word about the powerful role nurses can play as true healers using functional medicine practices, consider sharing an episode with a nurse friend or on social media. And click the subscribe button to stay informed of newly released episodes.
You can also visit and share the links below in the show notes for more information on nursing resources and the Functional Medicine for Nurses course offered through the Integrative Nurse Coach Academy in partnership with the Institute for Functional Medicine. Until next time, be well.